When Jesus began his ministry, he found some fishermen along the Sea of Galilee. He called them to leave their nets and their boats behind and to follow him. And folks like Peter and Andrew, James and John, ended up following Jesus for upwards of 3 years, a journey that took them all the way to Jerusalem and to the cross. After that came Easter. And then 50 days after Easter came Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and those Galilean fishermen and other disciples, too, were sent to places like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's how the good news of Jesus spread. Now, this morning, I want you to imagine a different scenario. Imagine that Jesus had said to Peter and Andrew, James and John, "I want you to go back to Galilee. Resume your old jobs and be the best fisherman you can be. I want you to provide support for your families and food for people's tables. Find ways to live for me in your daily work. And while you're at it, I want you to find meaning in your work and a sense of fulfillment in using your skills and abilities to love and bless the world." When we put Jesus' call like that, it can seem a bit odd, can't it? Maybe even self-centered. Ever since the early days in Galilee, we put a premium on leaving one's nets and boats behind and serving Christ in a new way, as pastors, church leaders, missionaries. But what if we spent just as much time talking about the untold fishermen in Galilee who stayed behind, who were more cut out for fishing than they were from going to the ends of the earth? Was there a chance for them to serve Jesus too? In our celebration of Reformation 500, we lifted up Martin Luther's priesthood of all believers. Luther was adamant, not just priests and monks and nuns have a calling from God, everybody does. Everybody. That goes for homemakers, for lab technicians, and for people who volunteer at a drug treatment center. I'm not convinced we always believe that about ourselves, or that we see God at work in our everyday efforts. Tiffany Erie can testify to this. Tiffany teaches at Franklin Elementary School. She has, count them, 850 students this year. That sounds like a huge challenge. But over the years, there's been another challenge almost equally as daunting. Tiffany's pastor at confirmation whispered in her ear that she was destined to be a pastor. And ever since that day, Tiffany has wondered if she somehow missed a calling from God. And that's been hard. And yet, along the way, Tiffany has felt pulled to be a teacher. And in her daily work, she is often moved to reach out to kids who struggle. And she uses art as a way to help them express themselves. And one Sunday a month, Tiffany takes her art supplies to a women's shelter here in town. She gives the moms and children a chance to create something beautiful in the midst of the chaos and anxiety of their lives. I recently received an email from Tiffany thanking me for taking and talking about the priesthood of all believers. She told me about the words of her pastor at confirmation and of the burden she's been carrying around since that time. In spite of it, however, she was able to say this: "I feel God keeps putting me in places where He needs me to go. And I try to grab hold of those messages and be at my best about them. I believe I'm living the life Christ wants me to live. And I know that I realize I don't have to be a pastor now, and a huge weight has been lifted from my shoulders." Frederick Buechner once defined vocation as the place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep needs. I've always liked that definition. We have to be careful, though. If we start with the world's deep needs, we can quickly get overwhelmed. Should we take on kids who are struggling? Gun violence, health care, hunger, homelessness, those who don't yet know the story of Jesus? Where does it end? Rather than starting with the world's deep needs, Parker Palmer encourages us to start with our own deep gladness. In an excellent little book, Listening to Your Life, Palmer reminds us that we are created in the image of God, and we are born with certain passions and gifts that are waiting to be discovered. And one's vocational journey is less a goal to pursue than a calling to hear, a calling we hear by listening to our lives. What makes time fly for you? What brings you a deep down sense of fulfillment? As we listen to the voice inside, we gradually become the persons we are created to be. We might even feel like a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Parker Palmer would be the first to say that the journey of self-discovery is often anything but a straight line. Still, we get hints along the way. After my first year in college, I got a summer job with a construction company in my hometown in South Dakota. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, even though I had put down teacher and coach on my college application. My job that summer was to tear down an old bank building in town and to make way for a new one. We didn't have backhoes or bulldozers to help us, just wrecking bars and sledgehammers, but it was all about demolition. After a week or so, I could barely get myself out of bed in the morning. I hated it. And then one day, out of the blue, a local carpenter asked if I wanted to build a house with him. I didn't know what to do, but I would learn on the job, he said. And before long, we were framing walls, installing sheetrock, and shingling a roof. And the work was every bit as demanding as the work on that bank building, but it was energizing to me. And I was doing something positive with my life, building up instead of tearing down. And that summer job provided me an important clue as to who I was created to be. As we listen to our lives, says Parker Palmer, we might just bump into something that we feel like we must do. Lyle Solem can speak to this. Lyle is long retired from his work at IBM, and now he's part of the Sunrisers Kiwanis Club. The club relates to Bishop Elementary School. They have a special emphasis on reading. Lyle regularly shows up at a place called Reading Oasis and listens to kids read. This past week, the first graders there were focused on the letter P. In addition to this, once a month, Lyle goes to Elton Hills Elementary School for their terrific kids program. When students do something out of the ordinary, they get recognized for it. And Lyle usually tries to tie the award back to reading. He will point to the letter R on the banner and say, R is the first letter of reading. You need to read every day. Recently, Lyle was shopping at Hy-Vee. He felt someone tugging on his pant leg. And as he looked down, he saw one of those terrific kids. She said, "Hi, do you remember me?" Lyle nodded. He said he was fibbing, but Lyle nodded. And then he said, "And do you remember what I told you to do?" And she replied, "Read." And he responded, "And are you?" And she said, "Yes," with a great big smile on her face. I asked Lyle why he does it, what meaning he finds in his work. And he answered, "It's great to help those kids. It's exciting to see that little girl's eyes as she talks about reading. It makes me feel so good that I could do it every darn day." As we listen to our lives, says Parker Palmer, we are often wounded healers reaching out to those who could use a lifeline every bit as much as we could. Back in 2004, Elva McFarlane saw an announcement in the Life at Zumbro. We were starting a prayer shawl ministry. Elva wanted to be a part of it. She had done some knitting in her life and a little crocheting, but not much. But she was willing to dive right in. And soon Elva was crocheting prayer shawls to her heart's content. "It keeps me out of trouble," she says with a smile. What it really does, I think, is connect her with people. The prayer shawls are a great way to show her love and concern. She saves the thank you notes. This past week, Elva showed me the last two notes she'd received. One was from Emily Doherty, a young person here at church. Emily wrote, "Hi, Ms. McFarlane." I love that. "Hi, Ms. McFarlane. My name is Emily, and I am 11 years old. I was baptized at Zumbro on September 13th, and I'm writing you this note to say thank you for the baptismal gift. It was very kind of you to make it for me." The second note came from Peggy North, who was recently diagnosed with colon cancer. Peggy wrote, "Thank you for the beautiful shawl and the prayers. I love the colors. They are so pretty and calming. It feels good to wrap the shawl around my shoulders. I plan to take it with me to my upcoming chemotherapy sessions." Elva McFarlane turned 92 years old this past Thursday, and she just finished prayer shawl number 147. As we listen to our lives, says Parker Palmer, we need to be careful not to try to do too much. Self-care is not selfish. Paul Robilia is a doctor specializing in family medicine. And Paul splits his time between his clinic office and the hospital. On a typical day, he sees patients for everything from whooping cough to pneumonia to opioid addiction. Paul helps people begin the road to recovery. It's all about giving them choices and next steps. What kind of medicine do they need? Where can they receive the best follow-up care? Paul finds meaning in his work by offering hope to hurting people, relief from pain, recovery from illness, a better understanding of what's been happening to them. He also finds meaning in being able to connect with people at a deeper level. He says it's especially gratifying when he sees patients months or even years down the road, and they are often in much better shape than they were before. Paul adds a cautionary note, however. Burnout in the healthcare profession is real. Self-care is critical. As we care for ourselves, says Paul, it's important to practice our gratitude in our lives, to take pride in our efforts to heal, and to realize that we do not do this work alone. So now, let me ask you, what meaning do you find in your daily work? Now, just a reminder, your daily work might be something for which you get paid, or it might be something else entirely. Does it feel like a calling from God? Is it a place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep needs? I hope so. I hope it feels like something you must do, something that offers a lifeline to someone in need, something that challenges you but doesn't wear you down. You should have received a little blue slip as you came in the door this morning. In the next few minutes, I encourage you to jot down some aspect of your daily work that brings deep gladness to you. Put that slip in the offering plate when it comes by. We will pray for them at the close of worship. And always keep in mind, whether you feel called to go to the ends of the earth or simply to go to your little corner of the mission field here in town, God has some work for you to do. You have been made in God's image. You have passions and gifts that no one else does. As you live as the person you are created to be, you will be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Amen.